Well, good morning, church. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's my joy to be part of this church. My name is Pastor Jim. If you don't know me, I get to serve Jesus here with you here in Winbur in Scalp Level Trinity. And giving thanks to God that I get to do that. And inviting you to come with me into Scripture this morning. Very important passage of Scripture this morning. Maybe one of the most important in all of Scripture. If there's a high point, this might be it. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8, verse 27 through 30. I invite you to stand with me in body or in spirit, however it is that you can show reverence for this word, which we know is first of all inspired when it was written by the Holy Spirit and continues to be inspired for us today. It's a short one, but very powerful. Listen to these words. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah. You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. And we'll end there for now. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's be seated. Join me in prayer. God, we give you thanks for the gift of this Word. May it strengthen our hearts and our minds. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us in this time that you give to us together, that my words would be your words, my thoughts your thoughts, my voice your voice. Speak through me, around me, in spite of me, because of me, whatever it takes, so that your word and your word only is proclaimed in this time while we're here gathered today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in the last couple of weeks, as we've been exploring the book of Mark, Jesus has not been in the kingdom or the territory of Israel. He's been to the north, past the Sea of Galilee, up in what's called Gentile country, or Greek country, or Roman country. It's an area where the Jews don't live. And people who aren't Jews in their culture are called Gentiles. They are outside of that Jewish religion, that Jewish faith, and that Jewish heritage. And it's up here in these northern areas north of Israel where Jesus asked the disciples this question. What are people saying? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever asked that question? If you are on social media, you oftentimes don't have to wonder. People will tell you flat out. But we sometimes wonder, don't we? What are people saying about me? Maybe we want to know, maybe we don't. But Jesus asked this question not because he's curious, because we know Jesus already knows what people are saying about him, but he's doing this to test his disciples, to ask them to give him some information. What are the people around saying? What are you hearing? And they give the answers. Oh, I hear that somebody said that you're Elijah come back to life. You know, Elijah, he went up to heaven and he never died. And some people are saying that he's come back and he's you. Okay, Jesus says, what else are they saying? And one of the disciples says, oh, I heard that someone thinks, and a lot of people are thinking this, not me, some people are thinking that you're John the Baptist, come back to life. That Herod killed him, and you have picked up where he left off. You're John the Baptist. People are saying that, Jesus. I'm just letting you know. Jesus, okay. People are saying that. People are thinking these thoughts about me. That's fine. Then he asked the big question. What about you? What about you? Who do you say that I am? And Scripture doesn't tell us how much of a time gap there was between Jesus asking that question and the Holy Spirit inspiring Peter to give the answer. Maybe they sat there for a couple of minutes thinking, looking at each other, wondering, who is this guy? We've been with him for a while. We've traveled the countryside. We've gone into the Gentile territories now. We're seeing amazing things. Who is this man? Where did he come from? What's he doing here? How can we even find the words to talk about who this guy is? And then the Holy Spirit inspires Peter, just as he inspired the word that we just read, just as he inspires the scripture continually. He inspires Peter to say the words, "You are the Christ, the one we've been waiting for, the salvation of the world. You are the Messiah." Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone." In Mark's gospel, Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone about that." Now, in other gospels, Jesus says, "Oh, Peter, you are so right. Yes, you've been inspired by the Holy Spirit to say those words." Mark doesn't record that, but it doesn't mean that he wasn't said. Mark's trying to tell a story of Jesus trying to keep things quiet, but people just can't help themselves, and they keep telling. The secret kingdom of Jesus is coming on the earth. They can't help themselves, even no matter how much Jesus says to keep quiet. But this story in Mark continues, because Jesus tells the disciples exactly what being the Messiah means. It doesn't mean that I'm going to be a conquering hero, Jesus says. It doesn't mean that I'm going to set the Israelites free from the conquering Romans. No, it means that I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be killed, I'm going to be crucified, the most gruesome, grisly death that the Romans can think of. That's going to happen to me. But on the third day, I'll rise from the dead. And the same man, Peter, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak the words, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," the very next thing that he's recorded as saying in this gospel is, "Oh no, 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 no. That won't happen to you, Jesus. That is not what I had in mind when I said you were the Christ. I didn't say you were the Christ so that you could go and get yourself killed. I didn't say you were the Christ because I wanted you to save people from sin. I wanted you to conquer the Romans." Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block. You're an obstacle in the way." How often is it that we, the church, we good churchy people, we good Christians, get it so right when the Holy Spirit inspires us? "You are the Christ. I get it. I understand who you are." And then in the very next sentence, bumble it all up with our humanity. How often is it that we get it? The Holy Spirit inspires us, but our humanness says, "Oh, I love Jesus, and that means that I get to do whatever I want because Jesus will forgive me. I could talk about my neighbor all I want. Oh, I can just get away with anything. I know that Jesus will forgive me in the end." How often is it that we say, "Jesus is my Savior, therefore I get to pronounce judgment on everybody who doesn't agree with me. I get to be the one who is the arbiter of right and wrong because Jesus is in my heart. You sinners." How often is it that we get it so right when the Holy Spirit inspires us, but as soon as we trust in our own understanding, we fall apart. We fall to pieces. "Who do you say that I am?" When we think that it's about us, my church presence, my gifts that I give, my talents, my heart, my abilities, my whatever it is, look at where we're focused. Me, 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 me. And where will that get us? "Get behind me, Satan. you're a stumbling block. But when we are focused on the one who is the Messiah, when we are focused on Jesus, the Holy Spirit inspiring that within us, then we know the truth. Then the world can change. Then our heart can be attuned to who Jesus truly is. But as soon as we trust in ourselves, we will fall flat on our face. I wish that I had the abilities to say, okay, Jesus, thanks for saving me, and then go out on my own and try to live life my way. I know that I won't make it past the first step before I stumble and fall on my face just like Peter. And so I need that Holy Spirit to continue to give me the grace that I need. Because I can't make it a day. I can't make it an hour or a minute without that Holy Spirit's presence in my heart. So then I won't want to judge my neighbor. I won't want to prop myself up. I won't want to make it all about me. I'll want Jesus to be the one who is speaking through me. We have been asking the question since he came to the earth, who is this man Jesus? And people have come up with some very interesting ways of thinking about Jesus. The Muslims believe in Jesus, that he was a great prophet. A great prophet, but not God. Even atheists will say, Jesus was a great teacher. Fantastic moral teacher. He's a very moral man. Not God. Even Christians, so-called Christians, will say, you know, Jesus was a really great guy. In fact, I might even call him my Lord. But I'm not sure, was he really who he said that he was? We have good biblical scholars who have taken this book and have tried to say, you know, I'm going to be the judge. I'm going to parse the words of Jesus. I'm going to decide which words of Jesus I think he actually said, which words I think that somebody else said that are attributed to Jesus. I'm going to be the judge. I'm going to decide for myself who Jesus is. You'll fall flat on your face. You'll get behind me, Satan, because it's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which comes through this book that tells you who Jesus is. You won't get there on your own. You'll say he was a great teacher. You'll say he was a great prophet. You'll say he might even be a great man. But to truly know who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, it will be the Holy Spirit speaking those words through you. Not because your brilliant mind figured it out. Because your brilliant mind will lead you down to parse the words of Jesus. What did he say? What didn't he say? You must trust not in your own understanding, but lean entirely upon the Holy Spirit. And then you will truly know who Jesus is. I've got some good news for you. Might even call it gospel. You ready to hear it? You ready to hear the good news? I'm going to give you the question on the final exam. You excited about that? If you were in college, if the professor said, I'm going to give you the answer to the test now, and the test is next week. I loved those professors. They were great. So I'm going to give you the question for the final exam. And I'm not talking about a final exam next week. I'm talking about you go to the pearly gates, you stand at the door, in tradition, St. Peter's there waiting for you, and the final exam comes up. You ready for the final exam question? Who thinks they already know the question? What's the question? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? That's it. That's it. If you pass that one, you're in. Good news. If you pass that one, you've made it through. And it won't be because you studied really hard. It won't be because you were baptized. It won't be because you were at church dressed in your finest every week. It won't be because you gave generously to the collection plate. It won't be because you know the Bible inside and out. It won't be because of anything that you have done. It will be entirely because the Holy Spirit gave you the words to speak. Who is Jesus? Who do you say that Jesus is? The Christ, my Savior, the Son of the living God. That's the answer. Trust in Jesus. Even when it doesn't make sense in your human mind, trust in Jesus. Even when the entire world says you are out of your mind for believing in that, trust in Jesus. He is the answer. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.